The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Rebranded Fire Breslow Podcast, presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Terry and Doug alongside. Red Sox lose again, no shocker there. 4-3, your final score down in Tampa Bay. Peyton Tolley taking the loss. The offense rallied a little bit in the eighth inning, but not quite enough. So Red Sox dropped the first two games against Tampa Bay. They have another series loss, and they are facing a sweep tomorrow afternoon. So guys, we'll get started with Peyton Tolley. Not his best start, ran into a little bit of trouble, some weak contact, some couple of bloops and a couple of balls going over Caleb Durbin's head. Not his best stuff, but again, as we said about Connolly early last night, not his worst start either, but once again, just not enough from the offense to pick him up. So Terry, I'll start with you. What'd you see from Peyton Tolley tonight?
Well, he battled, as he always does, without having his game logs up. I mean, he doesn't get shelled typically. You know, he gives you a chance. If you had an average offense, maybe, I don't know, maybe you come away with a W or at least more than six hits and no walks tonight, if I'm not mistaken. I was listening to Tom Caron right before we came on. Apparently, five games in a row, we've had one or less walks. We're just not drawing walks. And then, this is offense related, but we didn't have a full count until the ninth inning. No Red Sox hitter could work a full count. So, not good. But getting back to Tolley, you know, he battled. Only 10% of his pitches were off speed, the curveball, and I forget what the other might have been a changeup he tried to throw, but the curveball he ended up hitting whoever that was in that last inning, hit the batter, and you know, so still a work in progress.
Yeah, he is. I mean, even he was even in trouble in the first inning, and he battled out of it. I think he had the guy on third with no outs, I think, right? But you know, he always battles out, and it definitely was not his best start by any means. But still, I mean, only four runs, right? Like you said, Terry, an average offense, that at least gives you a chance. You know, four runs, even with his, you know, not his best stuff, he still hangs in there. He still doesn't get shelled. But it's just, it is the same old story with him that, if he, you know, can get that slider, if he can get a real breaking ball that actually is really effective, I think that four runs becomes two runs right away. But I think it would help him that much, because you know it. He knows how to pitch. He knows how to get out of jams. He has the heat, you know, and in like Chris Sale fashion, if he can really get a slider that can just really die in on guys, I mean, it would really take him to the next level. But even without it, he's still only given up three runs, and he's just not getting wins because, you know, he doesn't get any help.
Yeah, and it's not like he got shelled out there. I mean, there was not a lot of hard contact. The line looks a little bit funky for him because he gave up nine hits, four runs on nine hits, only struck out three. So he wasn't getting a ton of swing and miss, which I think kind of throws him off. I think he thrives on getting that, you know, guys to chase and getting those swings and misses. Tampa's just too disciplined, you know, offensively. They've got guys that grind out at bats, kind of opposite to the Red Sox, right? They will get the count full. They'll make you throw a lot of pitches, and yeah, they'll beat you with speed and weak contact sometimes. They don't need to hit home runs. I mean, you know, I highlighted it last night on the show that Tampa Bay is in the bottom fifth of the league in home runs, but they're in first place. So it's just, they're one of those teams that they can manufacture offense. They got guys like Chandler Simpson, who you know, can bunt for a single anytime he wants. He tried it tonight, almost got it. But, you know, they have good, you know, athletic players like that. So I don't think Toley, you know, he's not really the problem here, as we all know. Didn't give up, you know, any home runs or anything. It was just Tampa just kind of chipped away at him. And, you know, after all that, he only gives up four runs. That's not terrible. It's, you know, outside of quality start territory. But, you know, I tweeted out as soon as the Rays went up 3-1, I'm like, oh, that's it. That's ball game. Right. I mean, it's just that's the way it feels. As soon as the Red Sox get down by two or more, you don't feel like this offense can come back. And oddly enough, tonight they did. Right. They had that little mini rally in the eighth inning. But, you know, again, it's they rally, they get a guy on second, nobody out, and they can't bring him home. It's just, you know, it's guys like Rafael swinging at the first pitch and, you know, not working at bats. Like, once again, it's, you know, it's not on Peyton Toley. He's a work in progress. He's had a very good season up to this point. But as you guys mentioned, he does need to add more pitches to his arsenal. And he will. He'll get there. But once again, it's just another start by him that gets wasted because the offense is just so feeble that they can't mount a proper rally at any point.
Yeah, and it was the top of the lineup too. You know, Myers in the nine right. hole. He gets a bases clearing double. Gets us within one run on second, no outs, top of the lineup coming out, nothing.
And for the first time in quite a while, I think they said since 2020, the Red Sox were 11 games under 500. 11 games. But we're buyers. We're buyers. It's like... you know, what more do they need to see? That's my catchphrase for 2026. What more do you need to see to know what this team is? Yeah, go get another bat. Maybe you'll be seven games under 500 in a month, but it's not gonna help. And this season is trending in a direction of being so historically bad that 3 years from now, when we're not quite as bad, or maybe not even half as bad, people are going to be saying, oh, 2026 all over again, 2026. You know, that's how bad this year is.
Right. Like this is chicken and beer. That's what they used to point to.
This is going to be the season when all the future ones start to go sideways. Oh, 2026. Definitely. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, it really is heading that way because I was thinking about it today. Like, even the Bobby Valentine year, the team wasn't this bad. I mean, that team was more drama filled. Bobby Valentine was obviously not the right guy, but they still had a good roster and they still competed. I mean, they weren't a great team. They didn't go very far, but they were still entertaining to watch in terms of the on the field product, right?
Yeah, I mean, David Ortiz is on the team. It's automatically better than this team.
That's yeah, just, you had Ortiz. Yeah, you know, Ortiz, Pedroia.
Pedroia, yeah, right in Terry's face. But yeah, it's just they were all yeah. They had guys that we loved, right? So it was you were gonna watch. Yeah, that season was crazy, but we had it still was our guys, right? Those guys were our guys. We loved that you know that era, and this has you know we have no connection to any of these players.
Just think of how utterly terrible this season would be if Early and Toley didn't step up and be they're both rookies.
Yeah.
If they didn't step up and both pitch to the level of a middle of the rotation right now, they're pitching to at least a number three, you know, maybe a number two on a good night. But if they weren't pitching to that level, if they were each Brian Bayo in their rookie years, I mean, we're probably 15, 16 games under 500. Definitely. Like Toley and Early have sort of bailed Breslow out in some ways. I don't think it's going to end well for Breslow, but man, it could have been so much worse.
Yeah, I mean, if not for Toley and Early, you're right. Like, things would be so much more dire. And, you know, we kind of, you know, didn't love it at the time, but imagine if he didn't make the Contreras and Sonny Gray trades, right? Which, you know, we all thought wasn't really going to happen. And we thought, okay, well, Sonny Gray, you know, is he really going to work here? Contreras fills the first base gap. That's fine. But without those guys, I mean, this is, you are historically bad. And even with all that, you might still end up being historically bad because this offense just, they can't do anything. I mean, they can't hit home runs, even though that's what Driveline's trying to teach them to do. They don't manufacture offense. They don't steal bases. I mean, Duran tonight, you know, drives in a run, gets on first, gets a great jump, and Sadon has to go after the first pitch because that's what Sadon does. As good of a season as he's had, I know, you know, he should be, you know, the last thing we complain about, but he still has that thing where he's just got to jump on the first pitch and he flies out. And it's like, you could have had a guy on second, runner in scoring position. You could have started to build on that. And instead, it's just another fly out, inning over. So yeah, it's just, it's not getting any better. No one in this lineup is really improving. Sadon's the only one I can think of that has taken a bit of a step forward offensively. But even still, it's not, you know, it's not this huge jump forward where you say, okay, you know, the coaching and everything's making a difference. So I just don't know where they go from here. Like, who in this lineup is going to take that step forward? We thought it was going to be Roman, but he can't even get on the field now. And who knows what he's going to look like when he comes back. Marcelo Meyer, you know, they were all jazzed up about him hitting that home run last night, but I still see issues with him, you know, chasing bad pitches and making weak contact. No one in the lineup is getting better. And that's where it all comes down to, the coaching and the approach. And that's what they really need to fix. And I don't know if they are willing to do that.
Yeah. So I just did a quick ChatGPT and I said, what are they on pace to win right now? And it says 67 wins, which would be the worst since 2012, which was 69. And it says it would be our first time not getting to 69 wins since 1965.
That's so bad. And we probably will. I mean, yeah. Eventually Chapman does get traded. Probably Contreras, a couple other guys, and you'll go into the toilet. Like, you already are, but you'll be you'll be deeper into the septic tank by that point, and you won't be winning. So, and then I don't know if Sonny Gray gets traded because I think he still technically has a no trade clause. I think that's still valid, even though he's been traded. I took the L on him, by the way. I took the L officially on my winter take for Sonny Gray. I think that was on Friday night. But
yeah, he's been great.
But yeah, so you'll absolutely be worse than the Bobby Valentine year after trading some of these guys.
Yeah.
And you have to believe that it's starting to get to ownership, finally. Right, which is something that we've been complaining about ever since we've been doing this podcast, that, you know, John Henry and Werner and all them are kind of out to lunch. But now you get the reports of one of the owners, we don't know which one yet, is actually going over Breslow's head to make calls to other teams about available players. I mean, that's something that we never would have expected years ago that the owners would actually do. But you got to imagine they're starting to feel it. I mean, I don't know what the crowds are like at Fenway. I assume their attendance is probably fine because Fenway is Fenway. It's a tourist trap, so they're always going to get people, you know, coming through the gates. But I'll bet you Nesson's ratings are plummeting. I'll bet you there's a lot of people. I mean, I've even seen some people in the chat just saying like, oh yeah, I forgot they were on. Like, I didn't even bother watching. It's like, that's how bad it's gotten. I mean, who are you tuning in to see? And what I mean by that is, other than the pitchers, because you'll tune in to watch Peyton Tolley pitch. You'll probably tune in to watch Early pitch. But are you tuning in to, you know, like tomorrow, Jake Bennett at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to, you know, probably get swept by the Rays? Like, I don't think so. You're not tuning in to watch anyone in the lineup. You know, there's no one in this lineup that is exciting to watch right now. It used to be a guy like Jarren Duran, you know, who could turn a single into a double and stuff like that. He's not the same guy this year. We thought it was going to be Roman Anthony, but he struggled and then he got hurt. We thought it was going to be Meyer. He's been struggling. So there's no juice with this team. It's not just that they're playing bad and that now they're 11 games under 500. They just don't have any juice with the town and with the fan base right now. So I got to imagine the owners are starting to feel it, because I can't imagine those Nesson ratings are looking good at all.
Which owner is it, do you think?
I guess they said today it's not Theo.
So really?
That's okay. What I heard today, yeah, on the radio. So I got to imagine it's probably Henry himself. I can't imagine Tom Werner's making phone calls like that.
Yeah, I know.
God help us.
I can't imagine Henry doing it, but I definitely can't imagine Tom Werner.
It's probably the private equity, but kidding. Because I was thinking in my head, I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw this out here. And I'm in my head, I'm preparing my take, not knowing the facts. But I'm like, if Theo's doing it, I'm okay with it. He's done the dance. You know, it's fine. It's weird, but it's fine. If Henry's doing it, I am not okay with it. You know, it's like, you don't want the most aloof guy in the ownership group screwing up your franchise even more. I mean, it's so bad. And it's like you said, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, especially too, it's like you're going to bring someone else in and be in there, and they're already knowing John Henry will just go right over your head. You don't want to see that. Even as bad as Breslow is, you don't want to see that just for the future guy.
Yeah, it's a horrible look for Breslow, because, again, it's not just that they've lost faith in you and the reports of, well, they were considering firing him, but they're not going to. It's the fact they've literally just taken the job out of your hands, and you're just kind of sitting there like, just, you know, you've lost all power. I mean, with, you know, not even a year in, not even a full season in, hell, not even half a season. And they're like, oh, you can't do the job, dude. We got to take the phone out of your hands. And I don't know if it's Henry. I don't know if the report that it's not Theo is 100% accurate, but God, it can't be Tom Werner. If it's Henry, I mean, that says a lot, because that's a massive wake up call for that guy who has been out to lunch on this franchise for several years now.
Yeah, Breslow's just the kid with the unplugged controller thinking he's playing with everyone.
Which year was it that we had a trash rotation, but John Henry said we had five aces? It was like, I don't remember. It was at least a decade ago, but he's just so bad. Your chief baseball officer has to be utterly useless if you're not a respected owner and you're the one making the phone calls.
Yeah, and other organizations must be feeling those calls going, what the hell is going on over there in Boston? And, you know, as Terry pointed out, like, you're now 11 games under 500. You're falling further and further out of the wild card race, which should be the easiest race to stay in the American League, but they can't manage to do it. And you're going to tell us you're going to be buyers? You're aggressively seeking a right-handed bat? I mean, at some point, they've got to get real. I mean, because, you know, it's probably still a little bit early, but at some point, they're going to start getting more aggressive phone calls regarding guys like Chapman, Whitlock, you know, one of their stars, Sonny Gray, right? Like, I know they said those guys are, you know, hands off right now, but at some point, someone's going to get stupid. I mean, Preller over there in San Diego might get stupid. Someone is going to get dumb, and they're going to offer you something that you just cannot turn down. And are you really just going to hang on to Chapman because of this, you know, oh, we're not out of it, we're going to stay in it, you know, mentality? That's just crazy to me. At some point, they got to give in.
And who did he call? You know, who answers the phone? Like, this old man is calling now about, it's just like, you're just a feeble old man. Like, just
like, try. How would John Henry would he navigate negotiations with Alex Anthopoulos or, you know, whoever? And Breslow's only move is to call Bloom and Sherrington. You know, Henry's not calling them or Dombrowski. You know, he's not calling the people he fired. You know, it's bad. It's bad. And I had this team winning 82 games, which was kind of a cop-out pick, but I didn't think it would be this bad.
No, and there was reason to believe that they could have been an 82 to 86 win team. The rotation starting out was good. On paper, it was good, and now it's looking even better now that Brian Bale's out of there. And if you get Crochet back, okay, that's great. But the lineup, to me, is the most shocking thing, because you're just getting nothing from Duran, Meyer. You know, Durbin was not the answer at third base. You know, second base has been a rotating door. You know, even like Abreu's had a nice year, but I don't think he's taken the step forward that we want him to. You know, Maloney keeps saying like, yeah, his swing is still looking too long. And, you know, now it's like he's played every game. Is he starting to get tired? You can't decide who you want your catcher to be. I mean, again, small issue catcher, but like no one expected that Carlos Narvaez was just going to be benched. Like no one saw that coming. Mickey Gasper should not be playing as many games as he is. So on paper, when I looked at the roster to start the year, I thought, yeah, that they could definitely win 80 plus, especially with that pitching rotation. It's just no one expected the offense to nosedive like this. And it, again, I just don't see any way out of it. Even if Roman comes back, he wasn't exactly tearing the cover off the ball before he got hurt. So, and as I keep saying, they're saying we're going to be aggressive going after a right-handed bat. You're not one bat away from fixing this. You need at least two or three to pad the middle of that lineup. And I just don't see how you're going to do that in one deadline. I think it's impossible.
And yeah, a new hitting coach. you need everything.
Yep.
Real quick, another thing that was kind of glaring tonight, I listened to last night's podcast on my way into work this morning, and you know, Jason, you posed the question, who's your starting catcher? And right away in my head, I'm like, well, Narvaez is still my guy. And Juan let off, and he made a case for Gasper. He made a credible case, but the other two of you took Narvaez. And Gasper had three passed balls tonight. And on the last one, it was strike three, but Cedric Mullins got on base. He didn't score. He got doubled up on a fly ball to Rafaela. And anyway, he didn't get back to first, but three passed balls. And then in the last week, he's hitting 185 with a 233 on base, 259 slugging. He has not hit a home run yet. And in those last 27 at bats over the last 7 days, he struck out 9 times. So that's trending towards Bobby Dalbec territory. That's a 333 strikeout rate. So, it's frustrating to see him in the lineup. The dude's 30 years old. He's a career minor leaguer for a reason. And I think it just speaks to the identity crisis of this team. Who are they willing to commit to besides Rafaela, Abreu, and Contreras? Those are the only three everyday guys. I guess you can lump Duran in there while Anthony's injured, but that's it. Nobody else has a defined role. They're flying by the seat of their pants, and nobody knows how to fly the plane.
Yeah, I mean, I would still go with Narvaez too. And the thing is too, like, what are we losing here by playing Narvaez? No one's hitting, right? So he proved to be a big league catcher last year, right? Not that he was blowing anyone away, but he was a solid big league catcher. And it's pretty solid behind the plate. And I think he was top of the league in throwing people out, right? He was right at the top of the league, right? And, you know, he's a young guy that was going through some slumps, and the only way to get out of it is to play through. You know, I can see if we're top of the league and you want to, you know, take that next leap, so you need to bench him for now. But we're at the bottom of the league. He's a young guy trying to get through a slump, trying to work through growing pains, and he just gets benched. And that solves nothing, right? That solves absolutely nothing for a career minor leaguer. That's not going to give you anything that Narvaez isn't giving you. it's just, I think it does speak to the, you know, the desperateness of this staff and this team, that they're just trying anything to get better, but like not realizing this season's a wash already, you know, and the only way to actually build this team is that focus on these young guys. Navarez is a still very young player with a lot of potential, and just to bench him and, you know, forget about him is just not the way to work through his, you know, his bad times. This right now is the time to be bad, right? You know, and try to work through this stuff and try to come back next year a better player. And that's what all these low 20-year-olds should be doing. You know, is even if on a winning team, you should always be looking, you know, to be better next season. And, you know, sitting him on the bench just helps nobody.
It's the dreaded, you know, this has become a development year, right? Which right. We all hate that term. I hate that term too, but that's what it's turning into. It's a development year. And you're right. You got to let them play through their struggles. Marcelo Meyer, you know, has been hitting like 176 the last couple of weeks. You got to keep playing him though, because he was your, you know, first round pick 4 years ago. You know, so like it's now or never for this guy. If he's going to figure it out and turn into the player that you think he can be, then, you know, hopefully he'll do that by getting regular everyday at bats and playing shortstop regularly. And you'll find out. You know, you'll know by the end of this year what you've got in Marcelo Meyer. If he ends the year hitting, you know, 215 with very little power, but plays nice defense, then okay, he's not exactly one of your big three that you thought he was. And, you know, you'll find out the same with Roman Anthony when he comes back. If he can stay healthy, can he stay in the lineup every day? You know, is he going to turn into what he was last year, or, you know, is he not the prospect you think he is? This is what they got to figure out, because you're right. The Mickey Gasper thing, that's what you do when you're in a division race, right? And you're trying to fend off the Yankees or the Rays and you're desperate for offense. So you go, you know what? We've got to play the hot hand. Let's put Gasper in there, even though his ceiling is low. We know that what he is ultimately, but, you know, he's getting base hits and that's what we need. That's not what you do when you're 11 games under 500 and you're heading towards being sellers and being a development team. Mickey Gasper, like Terry said, he's 30. He's a journeyman from the minor leagues. And yeah, he came up and he was hitting pretty hot for a while. It happens all the time. It doesn't mean that you invest in the guy. We've seen it here plenty of times. Pablo Reyes, Daniel Nava, like these guys come up and yeah, they can go through some hot streaks, but they're not the future of your organization. Carlos Narvaez could be. He's still young enough that if you let him play every day and you let him sort out what's going on both behind the plate and at the, and, you know, with his bat, then, you know, he's what, 26, 27 years old. So that's a guy that you can invest in. You can say, okay, he is part of our future. He just had to figure some stuff out, but they keep just mixing and matching. And, you know, to Terry's point, the only guys who are everyday, true everyday players right now are Sadon, Abreu and Wilson Contreras. You know, even Duran, like for now he is, but Anthony's going to come back at some point. So once again, you're going to have that stupid outfield logjam that you've been dealing with since the winter that nobody decided to fix. So he's going to lose some playing time. You know, in terms of your infield, it looks like right now, it looks like it's IKF and Durbin at third going forward. And that's, you know, that's going to be it. And IKF might be your now everyday second baseman, which is not something that we would have planned on. When he was signed for that $6 million contract, we all went, why the hell do you need Isaiah Kiner-Falefa on this team? And now he's getting like every day at bats at second base. And he's actually one of your better hitters, oddly enough. It's just, there's no direction, you know, and the messaging is all messed up. It's, we're going to be buyers and, you know, we still think we can turn it around. And we think there are guys in this lineup that can turn it around, but, you know, you know, we're going to play Marcelo Meyer, but, you know, not every day. We're not sure if he can hit lefties. Like, at some point, they got to just admit you're falling out of it. And it's going to be focused on development and, you know, sell off the pieces that make sense. You know, and what I want them to do, if they're going to be sellers, they're eventually going to go that route. If you're going to trade a guy like Chapman or Sonny Gray, I don't want to see, like, 18-year-old, you know, high A like prospects that won't be here for another 4 to 5 years. Cause you're not a 4 to 5 year rebuild. you should be able to identify guys that are either in the big leagues already or on the cusp, right? Guys who are, you know, maybe they're blocked wherever they are, right? Guys in organizations where they're blocked by better players and they're just not going to get the playing time, but they could be really good in the future for your team. Go get guys like that. I don't want to see you trade Sonny Gray for an 18-year-old that we're not going to hear about for another 6 years. That doesn't do anything for you, because you shouldn't be that far away. So that's what I hope they'll do, but I just, again, I don't have faith that they'll make the right choice.
I saw this earlier. Sammy says, do you think they will retain Chad as the coach? Well, here's the problem. We've sucked even worse with Chad Tracy. I'm not saying it's his fault, but I haven't seen anything he's done to positively impact this team and at least get them trending closer to 500. I don't think we've been, I think maybe once we got like about five games from 500 with him. And I just, it seems like, I mean, just look at the catching situation that we've spent all this time talking about. Like, look at how unsettled that is. Everything is extremely unsettled. Wait till Romy comes back, then what? I don't think he's going to be handed the keys to the castle at second base. I think he's going to be a guy who's just constantly rotated, constantly shuffled, along with IKF, Durbin. And so I don't see where he has a future with the Red Sox. And Breslow isn't going to be allowed to fire a second manager. Like, that's not going to happen. So I don't think Tracy comes back.
No, I don't either. I think they let this season play out, and then they go into a strike with no coach on the books that they have to pay during a strike.
Well, I don't think anybody gets paid, honestly, but during it. Yeah. But yeah, they'll have to do something. I mean, the labor agreement doesn't expire until December 1st. So teams will be doing stuff. I think the non-tender thing happens.
I mean, if Breslow leaves and they bring in someone, I think their first move has to be a new coach.
Yeah, it will be. And I'm sick of the analytics. And I think that's what's going on. I think Tracy might even be more hardcore than even Alex Cora. So I just don't, I'm just so tired of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the whole organization now is just full of guys that are slaves to the analytics, and it's too much. The driveline guys, I think you're right about Tracy. I think he's in that camp as well. They don't have baseball guys in that organization, right? They don't have, you know, Cora's gone, Varitek's gone, all of, you know, his coaches are gone. Like, that whole roster of coaches, they were baseball guys, whether they were former players or they just had been around the game for a long time and, you know, would forget more about the game than anyone else these new guys could learn. You know, Tracy and all these guys, they're new at this. And I know Tracy was coaching in the minor leagues for a long time, but it's the minor leagues that's so different than coaching in the majors, where winning really matters. In the minors, winning doesn't matter. It's about developing the players. So that experience doesn't really help him. And I'm with Terry. Like, I don't see anything from Chad Tracy that makes me go, yep, he should be the guy long term. I actually feel the opposite. I think that he kind of belongs more in the minor leagues. They need to go out and get, you know, fire Breslow, first of all. But then, you know, whoever the new guy is, bring in some, like, just old school baseball guys. You know, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be all of them. I'm not telling you I want, what's his name? The old Orioles coach there who's still hanging around. Like,
Showalter.
Showalter. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying I want something like that, because I think that would be equally as bad. But I don't know. Find one of these former players that has been working in a front office or, you know, with a management team for a while and is ready to make that next big step. Maybe it's a guy like Sam Fold or someone like that, you know, but someone who can kind of do what Cora did, where, yeah, he accepts the analytics and he's okay with them, but he's not a slave to them. And he also, you know, has a feel for the game in real time. That's what they need. And they need that just not as just as a manager, but with hitting coaches and development coaches as well, because it's all just computers. It's just a bunch of guys on computers. And as we're finding out, that's, you can't win baseball games that way. And you can't develop guys that way.
With analytics, I mean, name a team, a small market team that won a World Series on analytics. You're not going to build a championship contender with just that. You're not going to moneyball a World Series. It just doesn't happen. You know, one of the final lines in Moneyball on the screen, it said, Billy Bean is still trying to win the last game of the season. And he still hasn't. It's been over a decade since that movie came out. And so, you know, the eye test, talent, I'm a big personality guy, you know. I mean, Kyle Schwarber has personality. You know, people hate Jazz Chisholm, but the guy's a baller. It is what it is. And I don't know if he's great for a clubhouse, but still, I mean, that's what I want. Guys that can handle the moment, guys that thrive on the moment. And I want a manager that'll just look a player in the face and say, grow a set. And, you know, as he's walking to the plate, and then, you know, crush one. That's what I want. I want a guy so old school that it's cool again.
Yeah. You know? I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of need like a little bit of a hardo. To come in, and, you know, former player Hardo, like, you know, gets angry and shows his emotions, like, you know, someone like that. And you don't have to go too far with it. You don't need to go get, you know, the, you know, another version of Lou Piniella or something like that, but just go get someone like that, you know, because you look at Chad Tracy and it's just, I don't see him doing anything to turn the ship around. You know, Red Sox are floundering, and I just think he's a guy who, he just fills out the lineup card and he kind of hopes for the best. And, you know, I don't want to bag on him too much. You know, I'm sure he's good at what he does, but I just think he's not quite ready for the major league level. And, you know, not everyone is. So I hope they do something like that, because the way they are with the analytics and the robots and computers right now, it's not an enjoyable product. And I don't think anyone on this team is getting any better because of it. So we'll see, you know, what happens down the road, but the way this season is trending, it's just looking real bad, and I don't think it's going to get any better. So we'll see. But if for the near future, we got an afternoon game tomorrow. It's a 1:10 start. It is confirmed now. It's going to be Jake Bennett going for the Red Sox, and he's going up against Drew Rasmussen, who is basically Tampa's best pitcher. So, Terry, let's start with you. How do you feel about tomorrow's matchup?
Well, as I mentioned on my last show, I think it was Sunday, Bennett's kind of developed a little bit more since he's been up. He had an 8-strikeout game and an 11-strikeout game. And I forget which pitch has been the catalyst for that, but he's definitely worked on things. So I think it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting matchup, but you have to, who in their right mind is going to pick the Red Sox?
Not me. I think we get swept. I mean, maybe if it wasn't Drew, you know, maybe I'd have a little bit more of a chance, but no, I mean, this the offense, you know, you can't trust them enough to pick them against a good, like against any type of a good pitcher, really. And Bennett, you know, doesn't give me confidence that he's going to go out there and, you know, throw a gem against a great team like the Rays. And I have no faith in this team, you know, so it's impossible to pick them to win. Like you said, Terry, it's just, I'll pick the sweep.
Yeah, I'm going with the sweep as well. You know, keep in mind it's a getaway day game, so you're going to see one of those, you know, afternoon lineups where, you know, Abreu is probably going to sit, because I think Abreu has played, like, I don't know, a lot of consecutive games. It's been a while since he's had a day off, so I think he'll probably be out of the lineup. You'll probably see Connor Wong catching. You know, they'll use Gasper as a DH for some stupid reason. It's going to be a bit of a wonky lineup, and Rasmussen is just too good. I mean, a lot of these Tampa pitchers are just too good, and this offense, just with how feeble it is and how undisciplined they are at the plate, it's not going to be good. So I like Jake Bennett. I'm excited to see him pitch again. I think they've got a little something there, but, you know, it's going to be, again, one of those situations where he'll have one bad inning, right? And he gives up two, maybe three runs, and that's going to be it. It's going to put it out of reach, and Tampa's going to go into that bullpen, and they're going to shut you down. So I think it'll be another sweep, but we'll see what happens. So we'll be on the air sometime after that game concludes, obviously with the early start. So keep an eye out on your YouTube streams and all that. See when we go